gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm Lobster. 20 years ago, American cinemas were rocked by one of the best overall years in movie history. Now Legends Podcast is celebrating the legends of 99 all year long. Man, it's a hot one, like the Sahara in the midday sun. The summer movie season is upon us. What better time to revisit some classics from the summer of 99? First up is the unexpected hit, The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, which revived the long-buried horror franchise. The Mummy also paid homage to Hollywood adventure films like Raiders of the Lost Ark, which was paying homage to other Hollywood adventure films, proving that there's nothing that can't be dug up and brought back to life. Except, perhaps, The Mummy, as 2017's Tom Cruise misfire proved. But 20 years later, does The Mummy of 99 still have the moves? Or should it stay under wraps?
This is a 1990 movie.
1990, not 1999.
No, it's very, very 90.
Yeah. Like, you know what? What movie? From Joe Johnson, The Rocketeer.
This reminds me of.
It's very slapstick, almost.
Yes.
Goofy. Yes.
It's weird because there is some great iconography. They have a competent plot, but for some reason they overplay the joke and very practical.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you just like rein that back a little bit, you would have a serious mummy movie with some levity moment. But no, they went like not exactly full cartoon.
Oh, I think they went close to full cartoon. As close as you can get, right? Like
the next one is full cartoon.
Also, lots of body horror, too. Which
the scarabs under the skin and stuff.
Yeah, and pulling out the guy's eyeballs and the mummy, like, gradually recomposes, I guess.
He's still wet.
He's still juicy.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the beetle crawls up his arm and then in his neck and then he chomps on it. Like, that's, I don't know. Like, I love this movie. I love the sequel. You know, people shit on the Scorpion King, but I'm like, it gave you what you wanted, which was The Rock and Michael Clarke Duncan and crazy stuff. But
no, the problem with the sequel is that they actually went full cartoon. They put a cartoon in the movie.
True.
That was the problem with the movie. The rest was, again, they had a competent story. They're never totally trash. You know, they ride that line of, no, that's okay, I can go with it. But
it seems tone. It just seems a little bit goofy now. Like when I watched it 20 years ago, it was kind of the Indiana Jones thing. It was the exploration and all that. But I don't know. It just seems extra goofy now.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. It's a very 90 movie. Yeah. The way it's written, the way it's structured, and the way it's acted.
I think it holds up well. I think it does almost what a lot of movies do now, which is you sign up for a quote-unquote genre movie, and you end up with a lot of comedy and a lot of situational one-liner character gag kind of stuff. And I think this movie is crafting a universe in which this film takes place, which is kind of not far off from Indiana Jones and not too far from kind of that pulp fiction world, but also it's really funny. Like there are constant gags, like haggling over the guy as he's being hung, and you know, Brendan Fraser almost died filming that scene.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they had to do CPR on him because he stopped breathing and stuff. So,
wow.
Don't die for this movie.
Yeah,
come
on. Committed to the joke, you know what I mean? That joke killed. So, but like, I think what this movie does is it's a proto version of almost what the Marvel movies do. The Marvel movies inject a lot of humor into the proceedings of comic book superheroics. And I feel like this movie is trying to do the same thing with horror and adventure and stuff like that.
Trying is the key word.
Right. Try, not always effective. I think you have a director that is mostly competent at shooting things, maybe not always on delivery of jokes and really coaching the best dialogue out of his actor. This is the same director who did the Van Helsing movie with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he had some clot, so he took all that clot and put it in the trash by doing a... They were trying to do a share universe again. It's not the first time they're trying this with the Universal Monsters, but...
So, like, I don't know. I think this movie plays actually pretty well. Again, you just have to go into it knowing you're not going to get a horror movie. You're going to get kind of this Indiana Jones pastiche and some good-looking people, and you're going to be okay with that.
That thing made $400 million in 1999.
Yeah, it did well. Fuck. I mean, the Tom Cruise Mummy Wishes, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The Tom Cruise Mummy killed his movie, a total cinematic universe, and two other people franchise that I'd sign on.
Yeah.
It's nuts how bad that turned out. The movie was not
And whereas
good,
this though. One, this one expands its universe because you get The Rock spinoff movie and it kind of keeps going. There's this one and I think two more sequels are kind of in the same universe.
Yeah, I think was it the third one that was kind of okay?
Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Yeah, that was kind of different. The second one is kind of a redo of that one with more bad CGI thrown at you.
Right.
So if you like this one, well, you're kind of gonna like the other one, like Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
But I like that they went a different way by going Asian for the third one.
Well, you know, we're going Asian next week.
Next week.
It makes sense. It's all good, right? So, I remember loving this movie kind of when it came out and, you know, lapping up the sequel. And I'm not, as you guys know, a big horror fan. So it has to have a pretty good dose of humor and chemistry really to get me interested in it. And this movie does it, right? Like, there are some jump scares and iffy-looking CGI mummies.
They were pretty bad, but you know what? The choreography when he's dancing around with the sword at the end and kicking, that had to feel so stupid in 1999 as Brendan Fraser, but it works well. There isn't a lot I can say that, because some parts of this movie are so bad, but that, it works. Some of the CGI is pretty bad, though.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to give it.
I would say
CGI.
Most of it by our standards.
Yeah,
but if you watch this in the theaters, you were probably pretty excited because you were seeing it on the big screen. And if you watched it again, you either watched it on VHS or SD DVD. You didn't watch it as you know. I just watched it on Netflix streaming in HD.
Right. Exactly.
I watched that in Laserdisc in the old days.
Right. So probably held up pretty well. I remember the CGI being better at the time, but
it was
still
good on VHS when you had like that whole tape.
So I remember this being okay, but not, you know, nothing that you're going to be great. Like, I think I shared the Honest trailer for it, and they're like, the sand texture in After Effects, you know, just to be like, yes, you know, we had the technology, we knew what this was, like anyone with a good computer could do this, but they just put it on the big screen.
Yeah, in the old days that was working, and let's face it, The Mummy is something they reboot every 20 years.
Sure.
It didn't work with Tom Cruise this time. Wait 15-20 years, there's gonna be another one. That it just goes like this. So when I watched the one from the 70s after watching that one, because I was like, I just need to know.
Right.
So some of the effect, like the eyes and all that, were called back to these old, this old shit. And this old shit, it's not CGI, but it's bad practical effects.
Sure.
So, yeah. That's what it. That's what this movie does. They just take what you have at that moment, and when you watch it on that moment, it's great. They're gonna be forgotten in time, or maybe not because they're of that kind of franchise. But
and I also enjoy that there's really no one in this movie that is a quote unquote movie star. I mean, Brendan Fraser did okay. Rachel Weisz, I think, was just breaking out. And pretty much a legitimate actress. John Hannah, of course, I love from his turn on Spartacus. Arnold Vosloo kind of plays this guy in a lot. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, the mummy, right?
I was like, he was in G.I. Joe. Yeah, directed by the same guy. Yeah.
Imhotep.
Oh my god, his resume is going from good to worse. Like, yeah. When you get to The Mummy Return, The Mummy, The Ride, G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, and then there's Odd Thomas something in 2013. And
yeah, Odd Thomas with our fellow that we saw last week, Anton Yelchin. Kind of it's a bummer. But.
Oh.
But The Mummy, I mean...
It felt long.
If it does, I think it drags a
bit. 2 hours and 5 minutes.
On the trip back to Hamunaptra, which they make interesting by having it be a cloud chase a plane, you know, a cloud face.
But, which was kind of fun on the big screen.
Right. Because they spend most of the first half of the movie getting to Hamunaptra, and then they get out, and then they have to go back. So you're like, oh, this again? But I think it worked. Like, you had the set, so you use it twice.
Yeah,
actually, kind of three times because they use it at the beginning.
Yeah,
looks and, like and, you and just it gives got that promoted.
Adventure style,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it gives that adventure style to the movie, that Indiana Jones kind of vibe that the other mummies did not have before. Yeah,
traveling down the Nile River on the boat, and you know, going overboard, and having to barter for the camels, and
oh dear goddess,
it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So we're watching Van Helsing next week?
No, because that didn't come out in 99, so we get to skip it.
Yay! See you in 2024.
Beef, any other thoughts that you want to throw at The Mummy?
I really liked it better in the first handful of times I watched it 20 years ago.
You're a more sophisticated viewer now, true. Beef.
I don't know about that. Not really. I mean, I'm ready to rate the damn thing if you guys are.
Well, wow, like, that's good to meet one of the fastest guests ever.
I do like that this movie does the Shaun of the Dead joke about 10 years before.
Which one?
Where he's blending in with the zombies.
Yeah, right.
By just going, Imhotep, Imhotep. That's great.
They kind of rush through the plagues. You know, you got to take a little more time on your plagues, man.
I do like my locusts and rain
do
of
they
blood
skip
and all
the
that.
Death of the firstborn? I mean, that would have been hard to do. I didn't notice.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they once the cat showed up, he was kind of off his
true
off his plague trip. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to rating this one. So let's go ahead and put this mummy under wraps.
You want to sing that?
Well, this is, I mean, your line, right? This is the scene at the river.
O'Connell, hey O'Connell, it looks to me like I got all the ratings.
Oh, good.
Wing for The Mummy, 20-year revisit, 1999. Are you going legendary?
And just like Hamunaptra under the moon, it's the same as the incantation that I get from you. You got the kind of evil that can be so smooth. Yeah, give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it.
You know, when you're sure that nobody's going to go there, make it long enough.
Legend of its time.
I want my mummy.
Cult legend.
death is only the beginning.
Okay, Arya. Awesome.
Still juicy.
Entertaining.
Prince Imhotep thanks you for your eyes and your tongue.
Mayable.
I only gamble with my life, never with my mummy.
Forgettable.
No, you must not read from the book. I mean, watch this movie.
Abysmal.
99 Problems.
Spring Breakers D&D.
The Mummy 2017.
That's not wrong.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of beetles under the skin.
Oh, God, this one is difficult because I went right away and watched the 1977. Anyway, one of the old ones that I found online easily. And then I watched that one and I've seen the Tom Cruise debacle. So I'm torn between entertaining and Legends of His Time. It's time because everyone I told that, oh yeah, I have to watch that, or oh yeah, just watch that, was like, oh yeah, that was pretty good. And I was like, oh, that's okay. But everybody has that image that this movie is kind of awesome. But it's so, like I said, 1990, it's all this what we're used to see in something like Hercules on TV, but with a budget, you know? So I'm torn. I was entertained, that's for sure. Yeah, I think I'm going to give it Legend of Its Time. I want my mommy. Beef?
Dude, we got to stop podcasting together because I, as well, am torn. And same thing. It's everybody knows about it. Everybody liked it. I can remember enjoying the hell out of it and buying it, you know, as soon as it came out on DVD. Going a few times for the adventure and the, you know, the mystery, the archaeology, the saving the damsel. And then I watch it again and it's just like, eh, it's more the same. It's entertaining at best now, but it is a legend of its time. But I don't know if I want my mommy. I'll even it out. Prince Imhotep thanks you for your eyes and your tongue. I'll go entertaining. Lobster?
I gotta go. I gotta say that this movie is still juicy. Like, there are parts of it, yes, that are out of date, and I don't know. Like, Brendan Fraser is hard for me because he's so charismatic, and yet you're like, he's not a great actor, but he's just whatever he's in, he's fine.
He's like, fun. He's just great.
Yeah, and he's on Doom Patrol right now, which I hear is pretty good.
It's so good.
So that's fun. Again, like, I come back to this movie and think, like, every time it shows up on Netflix or streaming or something, I'm like, oh yeah, The Mummy, that's a good movie. And I watch it and I'm like, that was okay. Like, there's stuff to like. There's stuff to sink your teeth into and find that it's still juicy, man. It's still got some of that mojo. And I don't know, like, the nostalgia factor of it is twofold, right? Like, you have the nostalgia that it's creating for kind of the golden age of Hollywood that Indiana Jones also kind of references but is a part of. And then it's got the nostalgia factor of the 90s when you're like, oh, that's so cute they did that CGI. Like, that's cute. And it still has enough practical stuff in it that you're like, it's not... There's mummies that are CGI or parts of mummies that are CGI, but they're still, like, they're not always in front of a green screen, unlike episode one, The Phantom Menace. So, like, there's still enough there to enjoy and think is kind of awesome. So, he's still juicy.
All right, last word on The Mummy, 1999.
Sand. I don't like sand.
Gets everywhere. Anaxunamun. Oh, last word. So after they climb out of the river, right, and he says, hey, Benny, it looks like you're on the wrong side of the river. Rachel Weisz's nipples had to be CGI'd out because she's all wet in her white dress. And they're like, whoa, we can't give this a PG-13 rating or whatever we gave it unless we CGI those nipples. So they had to have a nipple removal line on their budget.
Oh, wow.
I might have given it a higher rating had they left them in.
I thought the same thing. Like, if that was in there now, I'd be like, oh, boy, let's just skip to that scene.
I mean, yeah.
On the other end, I've seen the pilot of Stargate, the TV show, and you're okay.
It's all right. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
All right, we are coming out of the weekend that Godzilla, King of the Monsters, ruled the box office.
Sure. Sure, we can say that.
It came in at number one.
Barely ahead of Aladdin's second weekend.
Yeah,
It's not made for us.
No, I don't think it's made for us or people, or I don't know who it's made. Other monsters, maybe.
Is it making a bunch of money in Japan or something?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm clicking on the box over. Box Office Mojo.
130 million worldwide.
Yeah, but it did not open in Japan yet. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fine.
They're going to pay for it, basically.
No, I have no doubt. But at the same time, I don't know. Like, I want to see it, but do I go to the theater?
Did you see it, Wing? You said you were going like a week ago.
Yeah, we were all excited to go, and then Shark Taco saw the reviews, and she was like, hey, let's go see Captain Marvel again.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that. I feel like that's kind of the thing. They haven't done anything to make the next movie seem essential, right? Like, to me, it looks like Godzilla fighting other monsters, which they kind of did in the first one, and it kind of also feels like they're leading up to Godzilla just fighting more monsters because they want to bring King Kong in.
Yeah, so, but why do you put only 15 minutes of Godzilla in your movie then?
I don't know.
That's weird. That's the problem I hear with this movie.
Spoiler alert! Oh my god! No, I'm kidding.
There's 15 minutes of Godzilla and a bunch of human story that you don't give a fuck. So I was like, do I pay money to see this? Or just wait until it's on Netflix?
And Quicksilver and Walter White in it.
I remember Walter White
died right a fucking way.
Right. Yeah, and everyone was like, well, I'm checked out.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, then the last 4 minutes of the movie came out. Coach, and I was like, ooh.
This one has Coach Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose, and 11. And I bet they die right away, too. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen it, so...
You know what? In a couple of months, we're going to be able to go on YouTube and watch all the time, the part that we want to see.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll just go back and rewatch Kong Skull Island, because that was a good movie.
Yeah, that was good. I'll rewatch the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie, because I'm a masochist.
Why would you do that?
I was just going
to
say, you got to be glutton for punishment, bro.
God.
Rocket Man opened at number 3.
Ouch.
Two really good reviews. Like, everyone that I've heard from that has seen this said it was good. People are saying it, you know, it's already superior to Bohemian Rhapsody, which was a huge hit. But I don't know. Will it have legs over the summer?
On top of the piano?
Probably, yeah. Well, platform heels. So I think it will probably leapfrog Godzilla next weekend. And so maybe Rocket Man stays at like number 3 for a couple of weeks and just by dint of doing okay.
Yeah, the kind of movie that this is, they're expecting to have more of a tail than a big opening weekend. They're already at 60 million out of a 40 million budget. So if they can have good word of mouth like they have right now,
right,
they're going to cruise through the summer while the other big blockbuster fight each other.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's going to be quite the huge hit that we're kind of hoping for.
Yeah. good point.
Let's lead into news items. So kind of the biggest news item of the week, and which really has been kind of a slow week of news, Robert Pattinson is officially the next Batman, the Batman, in the Matt Reeves upcoming film. So he edged out Nicholas Holt, who played J.R.R. Tolkien and the Beast.
I would have liked to see him from the Beast cred take on Batman. That would have been fun.
Uh-huh. Well, and Nicholas Holt also in Mad Max Fury Road, I think, is great.
I did not know that. When I read that, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, he was one of the Half-Life War boys.
That's a good role if I have no idea that you're behind that role.
Yeah. So, mediocre. I don't know. Robert Pattinson as the Caped Crusader, I can see kind of where they're going. They want to do more of an art house take on Batman, maybe more of kind of a film noir attitude towards it. I think Holt plays a little on the broad side when you watch his acting, so maybe Pattinson will be able to put some dark, gritty nuance in there. But is it enough? Like, I feel like no matter what Pattinson does, he's still the sparkly vampire Edward. Like, I don't know.
Is he? Well, if he does this right, he might just be a sparkly bat. Oh, that doesn't help.
No. No. But it's kind of interesting how this all came together. So
flat black.
Right. Do the sparkles come in black?
Right.
So what's interesting is they ended up having both actors screen test and do a costume test. And then they kind of debated for a week how they wanted to play it. But the way the deals were written, as soon as they made a decision, the deal was like active. Like you were in if they picked you, and if they didn't pick you, then that's it, right?
Yeah, that's cool. It's an interesting way that they do that, I guess, you know. Get both dudes on the hook or a few people on the hook with everything signed up, and then you can talk with all the storyboarding people and the people. Like, that's an interesting look inside.
Right, because I guess at that point you can't come back and say, well, if you want me to be your Batman, here's my demand.
Right.
Like, I need my own bat trailer.
Right, you know? Exactly. My own bat
Who
thing.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Come on.
So,
or I need to fly in the bat suit because you need to pee, man.
Well, listen, if Darth Vader can have one on his Darth Vader suit, then I think Batman would figure it out.
Fucking good point.
Mm-hmm. So The Amazing Spider-Man's director Mark Webb will direct the live-action Snow White for Disney. So Disney's going to keep cranking out the live-action versions of their animated classics.
I think I called that.
I think we talked about that last week. And then this is kind of interesting. So we know that Netflix has been kind of casting about for the next Game of Thrones type deal. They're developing The Witcher with Henry Cavill, but they're also going to have the Russo brothers produce a Magic the Gathering series.
Why?
Because the concept of Magic the Gathering is a bunch of wizard gathering together to see who's the best wizard. There's a movie in there. There's a good wizard movie. And when's the last time we got a good wizard movie?
Doctor Strange?
No, that was a bad wizard movie. Aww. I'm sorry. That
You're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
Yes. But, you know, an actual wizard movie, like old-timey-wimey magic and all that bullshit.
The Nicolas Cage, Jay Baruchel, The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
We don't talk about that.
The Witches of Eastwick, would that work?
No.
Harry Potter?
Harry Potter would work.
Lord of the Rings?
There's that one wizard?
Well, there's two. Okay. There's Gandalf the Grey, Gandalf the White.
That's the same guy.
Saruman the White, Saruman the Many-Colored, and in The Hobbit, don't forget Radagast the Brown.
Okay,
Somebody wore
three
their
of
brown
them.
Pants.
He kind of did, you know. But
yeah, imagine Lord of the Ring with just wizards.
Yeah, fighting it out.
I'll give it a solid... Man.
Trying, trying to see who has enough mana to
don't be worrying about my mana.
Okay.
Hey, if I talk to you about a giant purple monster trying to seduce death, you're going to laugh at me, and then you're going to go in theater and watch Infinity War.
With a sparkly glove, don't forget, with a sparkly glove.
With a sparkly glove, yeah, with a lot of jewelry.
Yeah, a bedazzled one glove, Michael Jackson style.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm giving that to them. Go, guys. Point taken. Make point this taken. Right.
Fine, I'll give it a solid meh until we see a trailer.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of just trailers. Like,
all right, I'll jump there, but yeah, okay, go on. Never mind. Go on.
Mm-hmm. That dump. That massive dump.
Dude, we got a big all the one. Corn.
Oh, oh shit. We got a big one in the tank here. In Fabric, first off.
What in the fuck?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
But I'd be willing to check it out, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think because we watched Mandy earlier this year, this made me think like, oh, yeah, what?
Yeah.
Oh. And then right on the end, the hand coming out, or the fake hand on the credits at the end.
It doesn't make sense, but I don't know. It just baked
my noodle
enough.
It's a movie about a killer dress, and it's shot crazy and looks good. I don't know.
The next one I thought looked really good and interesting.
The Goldfinch.
Yeah. I don't know. Kid's mom.
Do you know the most interesting part for me?
What?
Westworld?
No, there's a Warner Bros. Logo, and then there's an Amazon Studio logo side by side.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's based on a book, so I wonder if there's a publishing deal and, you know, Amazon's going to get a cut of the book sales and the movie sales, and or Warner is finally getting wise to the fact that if they go where the money is, which is streaming, they can get the cinema distribution rights, but then Amazon picks up for the exclusive streaming rights.
Yeah, that was weird. But yeah, this week I was looking everything that we have there. I think at least 3/4 of it is Amazon, Netflix, Apple.
Welcome to a typical week on Art House Legend, or on, oh, Jesus Christ.
Wrong show, dude.
It's been 2 years and I'm still having flashbacks. Welcome to a typical week on Legends Podcast, where we realize that physical media is dying.
It's dead. And
streaming is the way of the future. Sorry, Beef. All right, here's what's interesting to me. We talked about dual logos. This next film was released under two banners. The trailer came out on the Warner Brothers media channel with the Warner Brothers logo and the DC channel with the DC logo. Even though it is based on a comic book, it's not a superhero movie, but they're branding it with the DC Vertigo logo. The Kitchen.
Melissa McCarthy looks fucking amazing.
Yes. And Elizabeth Moss and Tiffany Haddish. And this is ladies doing it for themselves, taking over the crime underworld in New York City in the 70s.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too. That's one of the most interesting ones we've seen this weekend. You know, when I see Melissa McCarthy, usually I run the other way because I just don't like her humor, but this works for me. I need to see more of that from her.
She looked just different enough in the first couple of shots that I'm like, that's not her. That's not her. And then she opened her mouth and I'm like, I think that's her.
I will say it's telling that you have two very strong comedy actresses, Melissa McCarthy and Tiffany Haddish, and then you have Emily Moss, who's known more for her dramatic stuff, and they give her the funny lines in the trailer. So I think they're playing at something here, and I think it'll be good.
Yeah, the trailer carries a lot of like weight, I guess.
Yes, very good. Quick hit here, Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, just kind of an announcement trailer.
What
for
the fuck?
Netflix, looking like a CG kid show, right? Set in
It's set
Jurassic
on the
World.
West side of the island when everything goes crazy and these kids are like on a high school or middle school retreat, you know, and then...
Are we going to have kids getting like picked out at a... Friday the 13th?
No, well, I hope so. I mean, that'd be a lot cooler, or maybe they'll just find adults that get eaten. You know what I mean? No, but there's a way around it.
Like you know, the parents, the chaperones got eaten, like in Jurassic World, which could literally happened.
They could be a high school. It could be a high school group. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it could be a. They could be 18-year-olds. That's fine.
This is like trying to make a cartoon out of RoboCop. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, yeah, they tried
welcome
that.
Welcome to the 80s and 90s.
Or a cartoon Conan the Barbarian or whatever. it's all good.
The next one, I have no fucking idea what it is supposed to be. Carnival Row.
I don't know, but I want to see it.
It's Cara Delevingne and Orlando Bloom in kind of a Penny Dreadful type situation.
She has like, fairy wings and... Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird.
Listen, I'm watching Good Omen on Amazon right now.
How is it?
And it's amazing. It's fucking amazing. But it gives me the same vibe. So I'm in. Like, seriously, Good Omen. Just watch it. It's worth it.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. This is like the umpteenth trailer that we've gotten, but also the first one that gives us the plot of the movie. So the kids find a weird book, and then the scary stories come to life.
See, now I have a question. Is it like when they read it?
Don't read the book!
You must not read from the book!
Or when they read it out loud, or it's like, come on, guys, hasn't every other movie taught you this? But I'm kind of intrigued now. Now that I know a little more of the plot, I am partially intrigued more than I was.
I mean, she did smudge her blood on it, so I...
Did she smudge her blood on it, or did she just, like, go to check... If it was still wet, and it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was still wet beef.
I don't.
Oh, yeah, read it and put some blood on it. That's a great idea.
No, I didn't mean...
It's that time of the month on your books, ladies.
I didn't mean that. I meant like she went to go... She was reading it and then went to go check, and the ink was still wet. Like, creepy.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, this does look... It does look fun, but again, horror. I don't know.
Don't care.
Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance.
Don't care. What is this? These are CGI puppets? Like,
people really reacted strongly in favor of this
the
trailer.
The first half of this trailer, I was like, why are they doing all this CGI and a Dark Crystal thing? And then the second half of the trailer, it looks like there's a lot more actual practical things, but it's still a lot of CGI background. So, last half was more favorable, but it's still weird because it, I don't know, Dark Crystal.
I go back to what you keep telling me, Beef. It's going to be free. I might watch
it. Yeah, it's going to be free. They're bringing Skeksis back.
True, it is going to be free. What else?
Well, actually, I might jump ship and just buy Disney by then, but we'll see. Might be.
Well, maybe. Okay. Rambo Last Blood.
No, man. That looked cool. That looked like a cross between the first Rambo and all the other ones.
Yeah. Basically, it's Rambo Home Alone, right?
It is Rambo Home Alone. Are we going to have to see this wing?
I can watch it alone. I don't need you to watch my Rambo wing.
Ew, wow. Now you make us have to watch it almost.
it won the race, which was which movie was going to use Old Town Road in its trailer.
I did like that. That was a good use.
It's a song that has kind of blown up viral style. And I was like, oh, this one actually works because he's riding a horse. Like,
yep.
Right, and he's an old dude and with guns.
Can't tell him nothing. Speaking of old movies.
Ooh, speaking of
war movies.
Movies I've never seen and I thought I never would. And then I saw the trailer and I'm like,
put
wow.
Put that on the list.
Put that on the
Apocalypse Now.
It's one of my favorite of all time.
In August. Okay. So this is kind of a big deal. So this is a film.
I told Wing, I said, oh, I get it. It's just like Universal Soldier.
I'm gonna hit you with a frying pan.
All right, go on, all right, sorry, Joseph songs, Campbell. It's just like, all right. So, Apocalypse Now, very, very important film. Martin Scorsese. So it's getting an HD 4K remaster.
Martin Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola, maybe
whoever. Like, I don't know, some guy who makes movies.
Some guy who makes good movies. You know, critically acclaimed ones.
I think it was Steven Spielberg, but if you want to go there, like, we can argue. I don't care.
Yeah, I thought it was Ronald
Francis
D. Moore.
Ford Coppola. Yeah. Hold on.
Okay, I'm
hold
sorry.
Your horses.
Fuck, I'm sorry. Go
hold
on.
Your Rambos.
Apocalypse Now. Go.
So this is getting a 4K remaster and a cinematic release. I think current audiences, if they were to go see this, would kind of lose their shit, because I don't think people realize how fucked up some of these older movies are. And you want to talk about practical effects. Just in the trailer, the amount of shit that gets blown up is staggering.
Oh, yeah, and they were shooting real body in the water. And yeah, that movie has history, and it's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. So, Apocalypse Now, final cut. There have been a couple retakes. There was the Apocalypse Now Redux that came out a while back.
So, 20 years ago. Every 20 years, they released that movie.
Yeah, which is okay.
Yeah, yeah, for this one, yeah, I agree.
All right. For All Mankind, the Apple streaming original series. Beef, go ahead.
Something about Ronald D. Moore. I'm Apple. If they all look this good and the reports are anywhere near this fun, this is alt history. The Reds make it to the moon first. We don't give up. And basically, we kick the space race into the Mars race and beyond. And this looks phenomenal.
Have women astronauts. Yeah,
right. Like, we don't. It basically, it pushes society forward that much quicker.
Yeah.
I love these kind of movies or stories where you stop a point in time. There's a word for it. I just don't remember.
Alternate history.
Sure.
Okay.
Alternate history.
The Man in the High Castle. Yep.
Divergent point.
No, I hate that show. That show is so bad. The conceit is super cool.
It's too slow, but it's a fun show. But go on. Go on. There's a word. There's a word for these.
There's a word.
But go on.
For these. But yeah, whatever. So I love these settings. So when you put that with a Ronald, with a more style.
Yes.
I was watching it before and I didn't really read. I was half watching it and then I was like, God, this sounds like a serious take on something that we always think funny. And I see that it's him. I'm like, oh, of course.
What was a show he did a few years ago with the Generation Ship?
Ascension.
Yeah, and I mean, that was kind of okay, but I don't know.
I don't think that was him, though. Wasn't that something else?
Or am I just throwing him under the sci-fi blanket?
No, he did a pilot where they were in space, but there was also like a virtual reality element to it. Like they were on this space voyage and that's how they escaped, kind of. But that only got a pilot. I don't think it ever went for Virtuosity or something.
I think I remember that.
Oh God. Okay.
Okay. Anyways, okay. This looks good.
Shall
for
we
all
move?
Mankind.
Yeah. Yes. And I keep forgetting. They keep thinking that the guy from Suicide Squad, the captain from Suicide Squad and the new RoboCop
Rick
dude
Flesh.
Is a good actor. And I see him in everything. It's not.
Joel Kinnaman.
He's not bad. He's all right.
He's in it.
He's very serviceable. You could hire better.
He was good in
Joel
Hannah
Kinnaman.
As a killer, killer dude.
Mm-hmm. Killer dad.
Right. Does she get him the t-shirt? Killer dad.
Yeah, yeah. For that, just dad. Pick whatever killer from Criminal Mind that week, and he's probably as good. So.
Yep.
Ew.
Shall we move onward?
Where are we going to go?
Onward.
But where are we going to go? Oh.
Go.
On a quest.
Onward. This looks weird.
Well, it's Pixar trying to do its Pixar thing, and I'm looking at the trailer, and I'm not used to it, and I'm like, and then I'm going to be in theater, and it's going to touch me in place. I never thought it would touch me. And
show us on the thing it wasn't supposed to touch you where it touched you.
Yeah. This
show us on the troll.
Yeah, this sounds like they were trying to come up with a Monster Inc. Spin-off. They could not, but came out with this shit instead.
Yeah. So. I think this is cool. So this is the world of magical creatures, centaurs.
It's like fairy tale
mermaids,
land, right?
Ogres. Fairy tale land. Except it's modern times. So they're going to comment on modern reality.
The unicorns are eating the trash out of your garbage and hissing at you.
The unicorns are trash pandas, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
I love that.
You know what? Now that I think about it, because it is all just going to be commentary on the yeah. world. It could be fun.
It's Pixar. Have you seen Coco? Have you?
No, I have not seen Coco.
Have you cried on Coco?
No, I have not. I don't need to cry yet on more kids' movies. I already have done that enough. Stop it.
Yeah, but if you really want to cry, just watch Coco, and you're going to be
no.
so happy. We should put that on the list.
Pusher of tears.
Oh. All right, so let's push something else. Cars really, really fast. Ford v. Ferrari.
So you want to take on Ferrari with yes. Ford. What did you tell
Matt Damon?
What did you tell him you needed?
Christian Bale.
200 to 300 years.
Yes.
So good. This movie looks awesome.
Okay.
Agreed. When's the last time we got a good car movie? And not a Fast and Furious. That's not a car movie. That's just an action movie that happens to have cars.
Car movies have kind of been pushed to the fringe by Fast and the Furious. There have been a bunch. Ron Howard did one with Chris Hemsworth called Rush. That was apparently very good, but no one saw it, right?
Yeah, I remember that. I think I saw
Rush.
It.
Rush?
Yep.
This felt to me like, what was the McDonald's movie we watched, where it's kind of a period...
The Founder.
Yeah, period piece, but it's also like...
How are they going to do that? How are they going to pull this off?
Yeah, and you know, it's
heist movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the casting of this movie? Every different shot, you had an actor that you know. So,
yeah,
everyone who didn't do For All Mankind is in this one.
That's a good point.
So that was a big trailer dump and a big news night.
Wow, I'm glad we had a lot of fiber.
I feel empty right now.
Still juicy.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Crazy Rich Asians. I'm sorry. I read it as Crazians now.
I still don't think we can say that. We're going to get a call from the Anti-Defamation League.
Anti-Defecation League? I got to poop, yes. bro.
Defamation for saying Crazians. Yeah,
I don't think it's racist. You don't know.
Do you know how I just smash words together? Listen to a pile of our podcast. This is not just.
It's a portmanteau, damn it.
I'm taking it back.
All right. Okay. Well, next time, Legends Podcast, Crazy Rich Asians.
The smash hit of last summer.
This has been episode 425 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, I don't know how I feel about not saying it that way now.
I'm John D saying, just try. Just get used to it.
I'm John Lobster saying, you must not read from the book.
Please don't. And don't put blood on it before you're going to read.
Nothing bad ever happened from reading a book.
It's like Death Note.
Yeah.
Okay. So, dear diary, today I plotted to overthrow the Pharaoh. He found out and had his priests kill me. But surprise, they turned me into an unstoppable, godlike killing machine who would wake up in 3 millennia and terrorize a small corner of Egypt.
That sucks.
Don't tell anyone, my only weakness is cats. Wow!
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.